Welcome to Air Talk on 89.3 KPCC. I'm Libby Denkman. Happy to be with you while Larry Mantle is away. You've probably seen the stories. Children held in filthy conditions in detention at the southwest border. No toothbrushes or chances to bathe, sleeping on cold floors with the lights on all night. Older kids taking care of younger ones that they just met. U.S. immigration authorities say they're overwhelmed by the number of families crossing the border and they need more money from Congress. Here's Vice President Mike Pence with CNN's Jake Tapper on Sunday.
Aren't toothbrushes and blankets and medicine, basic conditions for kids, aren't they a part of how the United States of America, the Trump administration, treats children?
Well, of course they are, Jake.
Well, the lawyer was arguing the opposite.
I can't speak to what that lawyer was saying. Yeah. It's one of the reasons we asked for more bed space.
Right.
When we were negotiating with Congress.
Yeah.
No, when we were negotiating during the government shutdown.
Oh, okay.
And Democrats in Congress refused to expand the bed space and the capacity for us to detain
people.
But
this is going on right now.
Borders. It's one of the reasons why we continue to call on Congress to give DHS, Customs and Border Protection, additional resources at the border.
Again, that's Vice President Mike Pence with CNN on Sunday. Democrats, of course, are arguing this crisis is a manufactured one because the administration has chosen to detain more people at the border. Congressional leaders have put forward bills to give Trump that funding, but now House Democrats are facing a revolt within their own party over whether to approve it. To explain what's going on, Christina Marcos joins us, congressional reporter for The Hill. And if you want to follow her on Twitter, she tweets at CI Marcos. M-A-R-C-O-S. Hi, Christina. Welcome to Air Talk.
Thanks so much for having me.
So what is the bill the House Democrats are considering at this point, and how did it make it through Nancy Pelosi's office?
Well, it hasn't quite made it out of Nancy Pelosi's office exactly. It's a little bit in flux right now as Democratic leaders are trying to lock down all of the enough votes within their own caucus to try to pass this bill, which they're aiming to do later today.
Do we know when the vote is scheduled, or it's still kind of in the air because this negotiation is ongoing?
It's still in the air. Pelosi hosted members of the Progressive and Hispanic caucuses in her office very late last night until Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, for example, was in there for almost 3 hours. She didn't leave until about 10:30 last night. And so they unveiled some changes this morning to the bill to try to win over some of these members. So they would more specifically mandate standards at these migrant detention facilities to ensure that they have, for example, access to toothbrushes, access to soap, an opportunity to bathe more often than some of these migrants are reportedly having a chance to do. And so they're hoping that will secure the votes. Democratic leaders were expressing confidence this morning that it would pass with a strong Democratic vote. But the fact that they haven't scheduled a vote yet indicates that they haven't quite locked it down yet.
Yeah, I want to go to Eric Wasson, who's on the line, congressional reporter at Bloomberg News. Hi, Eric. Thanks for being on Air Talk. And can you characterize these negotiations between progressives, the Hispanic caucus, and the leadership of the House right now? What types of conversations are they having?
Well, what we're seeing is sort of the growing pains of the new Pelosi majority. In some ways, this is similar to the problem that Speaker Ryan, the House Republican speaker, faced in the last Congress with the Freedom Caucus. There's a small group of very liberal members that are really able, when something comes to the floor, to block it. The majority only has a leeway of 15 to 20 votes, and without everybody on board, in a case like this with all the Republicans unable to vote for it for the most part, and President Trump threatening a veto, they need to get everybody on the same page. So the bill they initially released, $4.6 billion, just didn't go far enough in restraining the ability of the Trump administration to transfer this money to priorities that the Democrats don't want, like ICE enforcement, more deportation of people who are already here, undocumented immigrants, et cetera. So they're strengthening those provisions, and they're continuing to work on that as we speak. It seems most likely that this will pass. The real question is, when does it actually come into effect? The Senate has its own version, a bipartisan bill, and both of these would have to be reconciled. It looks like that can't really be done by Thursday when Congress takes a two-week break. So the question of when the children will actually get better conditions remains very much a live one.
Christina, when did these disagreements from the Progressive Caucus, these objections, come up? Because the Trump administration asked for the money last month, and since then we have seen many more reports out of especially this facility in Clint, Texas, which had 250 or so migrant children just held in really terrible conditions, according to the inspectors that went to visit them. Were those reports and those firsthand accounts of lawyers who visited the children behind the objections from AOC and the Hispanic Caucus and the progressives? Were, you know, more information about the way these kids were being treated partially pushing why suddenly we needed more restrictions on this bill?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's such an issue that grabs people that it's absolutely moved the needle along here. I mean, Democrats have been talking amongst themselves about providing this aid for weeks, but it's really, well, and also part of it also is that we're approaching a recess. They're, as Eric mentioned, they're scheduled to leave on Thursday and won't be back for a couple of weeks. But another thing that's adding to the urgency here is that the Office of Refugee Resettlement, which is operated within the Department of Health and Human Services, is saying that it's set to run out of money in the coming weeks if Congress doesn't approve additional funding sometime soon. So they're really trying to get something moving along here. Plus, you also had President Trump threatening last week to start these mass deportations in major cities across the country. Speaker Pelosi called him on Friday to convince him to hold off, and eventually he announced that he would hold off for 2 weeks to give Congress time to reach a deal on asylum laws, which is unrelated to what's being discussed specifically in this border aid package. But nevertheless, all those things together is making lawmakers really want to get something done before they leave in the next few days.
Sure. Eric, I'm curious, as these negotiations go on between Speaker Pelosi, House leadership, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, and her wing of the party, what kinds of differences are we seeing emerge? We heard some of them from Christina earlier between this House version and the Senate version, and which one has a better chance of getting through?
Well, in the end of the day, probably I would give the advantage to the Senate, because the Senate version is bipartisan. Senate Democrats signed off on it and it moved out of the Senate Appropriations Committee on a 30-1 vote, which is very strong sort of, approval from Democrats as well as Republicans. I mean, there are a lot of small differences between the two bills. The House bill doesn't give any money to the Department of Defense. It also would stop the Trump administration from cutting off aid to Central American countries of El Salvador, Honduras, and Guatemala. Democrats argue this is very counterproductive because the more conditions deteriorate in those countries, the more likely a migrant surge will continue. However, Trump has indicated he wants to use as a kind of a stick approach to sort of try to force those countries to change their policies. And then there are these additional restraints on the ability of the Trump administration to move money around. We asked Hakeem Jeffries, the leader of the House Democratic Caucus, well, what happens? Trump has threatened to veto the bill even before you put more progressive priorities in it. And he basically said he's going to call Trump's bluff. Trump has backed off of Mexico tariffs. He's backed off of threatening to bomb North Korea and to bomb Iran. And he just believes Trump will, in the end of the day, in order to get this money, back off resisting these what are somewhat minor restrictions on preventing him from using the money to build a wall or create an ICE deportation force.
Yeah, I'm speaking with Eric Wasson, congressional reporter at Bloomberg News, and Christina Marcos, reporter for The Hill. They both cover Congress, watching these very tense negotiations between the Progressive Caucus, Hispanic Caucus, and mainstream, maybe I would say House leadership, leaders like Nancy Pelosi, trying to get a funding bill passed through the House to send humanitarian aid to the border. Of course, that would have to be reconciled with a Senate version of the bill that has been backed by Republicans. Eric, I heard you talk about the kind of shades of Tea Party that you were seeing as you watched the progressives revolt against the leadership of their party in the House. John Boehner was never really able to wrangle the Tea Party insurgency as House Speaker. during the Obama administration. Do you see Nancy Pelosi employing any different tactics to try to bring her party into a sense of unity here?
She's been much more successful at doing that just so far in the last couple of months. So that makes me think that this will actually pass. There were two recent examples. One was the House budget. They were going to try to pass a budget resolution. This is basically an outline for how much to spend. The progressives revolted. They pulled that, but then they still sort of went ahead with a smaller bill that sort of set the top line numbers without all the extra bells and whistles, and that ended up passing. Now, the progressives came out and declared victory, but nonetheless, leadership got what it wanted. We also saw a big, massive appropriations bill, including the Department of Defense spending bill, passed the House with only 7 defections recently. And this is something that had a lot of Republicans saying to me, this is how you run a railroad. This is how you get a restive breakaway caucus to get on board. Many of those members said they wouldn't vote for higher defense spending, but they did in the end. And I think that's really a testament to Pelosi's legislative skill. So I do think that they'll probably find some way to skin this cat. But again, we just don't know until we see the vote later today.
I wonder today as well, Eric, if Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and the other progressive leaders, Ilhan Omar, Pramila Jayapal, if they looked at the Tea Party as maybe a cautionary tale of scuttling a lot of priorities of their party. And even though they would like to move their Democratic Party to a further left position, they also saw in the past a breakaway caucus maybe hampering the progress of their entire party. Do you think that there was any type of, looking at that history and saying, you know, we get more accomplished when we do work with leadership?
I think there's a lot. First of all, you can't really lump them all together. AOC,
certainly, yeah.
Jayapal are sort of different. I think Jayapal, as a leader of the Progressive Caucus, is more willing to cut deals. She just can only cut deals so far. She can't really be totally in leadership's pocket, you know. So she's playing sort of a mediator role here with AOC and her group really presenting, you know, the really the sort of the solid, ideologically correct left position. So in some ways they work in tandem. It could almost be like a good cop, bad cop thing. But again, they're trying to work all these dynamics out amongst themselves. It's still, like I said, it's still a very new majority, and there are chances for things to really tank and surprises to happen.
Yeah, that's Eric Wasson with Bloomberg. Christina Marcos also on the line from The Hill. Christina, you touched on this earlier, but looming large is this deadline that President Trump set when he delayed massive ICE raids around the country. He tweeted on Saturday that he was delaying them by 2 weeks in order to give Congress a chance to come to a compromise on asylum policy. That's something that we follow very closely, of course, in Los Angeles, somewhere where ICE raids are very impactful on immigrant communities across the city and across Southern California. Do you expect, you kind of hinted at this, that you don't expect a major asylum policy or major immigration changes in the next couple of weeks before this deadline the president set?
It seems extremely unlikely at this point, barring some sort of major breakthrough. Over in the Senate, Lindsey Graham, who chairs the Senate Judiciary Committee, has been in bipartisan talks along with Jared Kushner about changes to asylum policy, but so far those talks haven't made a lot of progress, and it seems unlikely they would reach a deal in 2 weeks, let alone even by the end of the summer, at least at this stage. So that was a way for President Trump to delay this temporarily, but in 2 weeks, unless there's something else that Trump could use to justify delaying these raids again, it seems unlikely Congress is going to meet Trump's deadline at that point. It's even in question if they can even get this $4.5 billion package to address the flow of migrants at the border, just to send money to address an existing problem, let alone make changes to immigration policy.
Right, let alone remaking the entire infrastructure. Christina Marcos, congressional reporter for The Hill, and Eric Wasson, congressional reporter for Bloomberg News. Thank you both for joining me. This is a really fascinating debate to watch within the Democratic Party, watching the newer factions, progressive and Hispanic factions of the party, really pushing back on this humanitarian aid to the border, saying that it would possibly fuel President Trump's priorities, including more detentions. Thanks to my guests for joining me from the Congressional Beat. Coming up next, we're going to talk to you about your student loans. The 2020 Democratic candidates have major plans to forgive student loan debt or make college more affordable. We want to hear from you. How has student loan debt affected your life? We're going to compare the policies that 2020 Democrats have put forward, and we also want to take your calls, emails, social media hits to tell us how you might have lived your life differently if you didn't have student loan debt. Coming up in just a couple minutes here on Air Talk, we have a short break. I'm Libby Denkman in for Larry Mantle.